Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
So we'll look at the Galatians this first 6 weeks. Introduction tonight, we'll start chapter 1 next week. And as we think about the authors of the books, there's many times there are not questions, but there's confusion of over who maybe wrote this book, over the human author. There's debate over that. And there's no debate over really who wrote the 66 books of the Bible. It was penned by God, the Holy Spirit. But in some books, there are human authors that there's maybe some disagreement over maybe who penned it. But again, the important thing is that it was the Holy Spirit himself who wrote these letters. For it is in 2 Timothy 3:16 that we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So there's little debate, though, of who authored this book. In Galatians, most scholars agree. In fact, I couldn't find one who disagreed that the Apostle Paul was the one who wrote this book. The human author, anyway. And if you were with us last year, we went through the book of Acts. And most of the book of Acts, a lot of it anyway, is his biographical life, of all the things that he went through, from his conversion to his missionary journeys to finally even his death. And if you were not with us last year, I would encourage you, as a companion, a part of Scriptures, is read through the book of Acts and see how all these things kind of unfolded. You don't need to do that to study Galatians, but at least it gives us a little bit of a background so we can see that together. But Paul, he was a very well-educated man. He led the Jewish religious leaders as a man. His name was Saul at the time. He was living in Jerusalem just after Christ's death and resurrection. And he did his absolute best to destroy the Christian church. Even so much so that he was there at the very first execution of the martyr Stephen. And then he was even going further than that. He was going to go now outside of Jerusalem into Damascus to arrest more Christians and persecute them. But something happened on that road to Damascus. It was where Paul, or Saul at the time, he met the risen Lord. And he asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus then presented himself to Saul. He received Christ alone for his salvation. Then he became the Apostle Paul. Spent some time wondering what God's plan for him was. And even Christians were thinking, this Paul, he's duping us. Because we know this is probably just a trick or a ploy that he's doing. So that way he can trap us as well. But Barnabas came alongside and said, "No, this is Brother Saul." And so then Saul had a great ministry in the book of Acts, again, as we know him as Paul. But on three separate missionary journeys, Paul preached the news of Jesus in the coastal cities, in the trade routes, and those areas, one of them being Galatia. And the churches there in that region, Paul founded them. And they were churches in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and Antioch. And so those are the churches of Galatia that Paul went to, preached the gospel, people got saved, and churches sprung up because of that message. And so when was this book written? This book was written, most, again, scholars believe that as Paul was leaving the Jerusalem council around 49 AD is when he penned this book over to the Galatian churches there. And it was most likely that that's when he wrote this book. And so the theme of this book, the Galatians book, is justification by grace through faith. Through faith. So therefore, we're calling this series Grace Above the Law. Because it's grace that supersedes anything that the law could bring. So that'll be the title of the series through Galatians, is Grace Above the Law. So why was it written, though? Why was this book so important to write that the Apostle Paul wrote it as his first book? Well, this letter was written in a spirit of inspired agitation. The churches were made up of saved Jews and saved Gentiles. And the saved Jews would have to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and that they received Christ alone for their salvation. And Paul gave them the gospel of grace, that it was grace that saves them through faith. And so as he then left them and did some other missionary journeys, things began to happen. The Jews came from a very rich tradition. Moses was their hero. And so to supersede Moses with this Messiah Jesus was a big deal to them. And so upon receiving that, and Paul then leaving, a group of guys called the Judaizers came in. They were false teachers. And this is the reason why Paul was bringing this letter to them. The essential truth of justification by faith rather than by the works of the law had been obscured by these false teachers. They were now saying, yeah, Jesus dying on the cross, that was all good. Receiving him, that was all good, but you got to follow the law. Gentiles, you got to be circumcised. Jews, you still got to adhere to the law that was given to us by Moses. Yes, it's Jesus plus the law. Paul's writing this letter, says it's Jesus plus nothing. It's Jesus alone. So it's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And that was the message that Paul needed to get to them. But you know, we have the same thing happening today. We have these false teachers that are coming in that are bringing this false gospel. You have people coming to your door wanting to give you an Awake magazine or a Watchtower magazine. There's other religions around the world that teach works-based salvation. For example, the Buddhists, they believe that heaven is a temporary place where those who have done good deeds experience more sensual pleasures for a longer period. Buddhism teaches that nirvana is the highest state of being, a state of pure being. It's achieved by means relative to the individuals. You can achieve the sense of nirvana. Buddhism teaches that the solutions to our problems are within ourselves, not outside. Hindus believe similarly. Hinduism is a symbol of works, things that one must do to reach the Hindu heaven. Hindus believe in reincarnation. They believe in karma. Hey, if you do good things will come back to you. If you do bad things, then bad things will come to you. Now, I'm not sure why I chose you guys as the good things and you guys as the bad things. Don't take it personally. But that's how they would believe. And so even in reincarnation, we see some of the third world countries who won't even eat meat because they adhere to the Hindu religion, which states that reincarnation happens. And so if we're good people, I don't know what we reincarnate to, but if we're bad people, then we could reincarnate to, I don't know, a crow or a mosquito or something like that. But they wouldn't eat meat in these countries even today, so they wouldn't have a steak because maybe Uncle Henry was the cow it came from, you know, and we don't want to do that. So unfortunately, some of these countries, people are starving, and yet they have food right then, but they believe in reincarnation. We see folks in Islam, where paradise is attained when Allah weighs a follower's good works against bad deeds on a scale at judgment day. In Mormonism, they believe that faith alone will result in spending eternity in a lower level of heaven, while works will take you to the highest level of heaven and even become a god yourself. That's why good young Mormon young men go on a 2-year missionary journey. Is that part of their good works? Jehovah's Witnesses believe salvation is obtained by a combination of faith, good works, and obedience. When we compare biblical Christianity with the religions of the world, using the scriptures to guide us, we see that the gap between them is unbridgeable. You can't bridge that gap between Christianity and all these religions I just mentioned or any other religion you want to put in there. Because those religions teach this is what you must do. Christianity teaches this is what's already been done. Because Jesus himself said on the cross, it is finished. There is no works that needs to be done. It cheapens the cross when we say it has to be Jesus plus something. God would not send his only begotten son to die on a cross if it was works that got us to heaven. It's by grace alone, through faith alone. Biblical Christianity comes along under the heading of divine accomplishment. All the other religions of the world must be placed under human achievements. One of the phrases that we're going to see, you've seen over in the Bible, but also used four times in the scriptures, it's used here in Galatians as well, is the words, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's quoted in four different books of the Bible. The first time we see it is in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Then Paul uses it in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Then it's used in Hebrews chapter 10. And then we'll look at it in our studies in Galatians chapter 3. And the focus is being on the word just. The just shall live by faith. That's what Galatians is going to focus on. So how are we just? How do we become just or right in God's eyes? What is the doctrine of justification? Justified. Someone once described it as just if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. And that's a good explanation for half of it, because when you receive Christ alone for your salvation, you are then justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. But here's the better news of that, or the good news anyways, with it. It combines with it. It's just as if we'd never sinned, but also just as if we've always obeyed. If you are in Christ here tonight, you are justified. How many of you are justified here tonight? You know, at first we kind of hesitate. I guess I am. If you are in Christ, you are justified. You are righteous. Own that. Because it was Christ who purchased it for us. It was nothing of ourselves, and we know that. So the terms to remember is this. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification happens at the very moment of salvation. It's instantaneous. When we receive Christ, we are immediately regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes and resides within us. It's an instantaneous thing that happens right when we receive Christ. Sanctification, however, is a process. Sanctification is becoming more and more like Jesus. That's why we do Valor, because we want to be more and more into God's Word. And because the more we get into God's Word, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we'll be like Him. Even the word Christian means Christ-like. And we're trying to become more and more like Jesus. Glorification. This happens when a believer dies. As it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we're glorified, in that glorification, we're in heaven, where there's no more sorrow or suffering or sin. And that's glorification. So justification, we are freed from the penalty of sin. In sanctification, we are freed from the power of sin. And finding glorification, will be freed from the presence of sin. So those three words, justification, sanctification, glorification, we'll see those as we look at these books together. Now, the book of Galatians is going to break off real nicely into three sections. Chapters 1 and 2, we're going to see the gospel of grace defended. Chapters 3 and 4 is the gospel of grace explained. And chapters 5 and 6, we'll see the gospel of grace applied. Paul is going to defend it because the false teachers were there, the Judaizers. He was going to defend the grace. Then he was going to explain grace. And then he's going to tell us how to apply grace. The book of Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. Now, we're going to give you some good resources throughout the year. And you can go and visit our bookstore, and we'll have sections for just you know, the books that we're going through, we'll give you a discount. We'll start that next week. We'll get some good resources for you available to you. But one of the good resources that you'll want to put in your library is Pastor Jeff Lassane's book, Highway 66. It's an overview of the 66 books of the Bible, and you'll be able to get tidbits. It's a really great book to have in your library. But I took some facts from his book, and Galatians is the only one of Paul's books that doesn't begin with a word of thanksgiving and praise, and it's one of his most severe letters. Paul doesn't start this book off and says, I give thanks to my God continually for you. Now, he does say that at different times in different books, but he never says it to the Galatians believers. Why? Because he wants to get right to the heart of the matter. You're thinking, wait a minute. I remember in 1 Corinthians, we had the Corinthian church allowing a guy to be sleeping with his dad's wife. Why isn't he writing them a severe letter? Because it was not so much that they were doing something that was blatant. What they were doing in ignorance. They were thinking that they were extending grace to this man. Hey, we've received so much grace. Let's give him grace too. But Paul then tells them what they need to do. And then 2 Corinthians is the results of that when this man repents. But in Galatians, it's so important because Judaizers were coming in and ripping them off of the true meaning of the gospel. Now, I keep using that word gospel. Some of you may be new to the ministry, new to Christianity, new in your faith. Gospel just simply means good news. If there's good news, there must be bad news. And the bad news is this, that we are sinners, and because of our sins, we've been separated from God. And the good news is that God made a way to be reconciled to him, himself, by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And when we receive that truth by faith, when we accept Christ alone for our salvation, we then are saved. And we realize that Jesus rose again on the third day, and he is now ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father and making intercessions for you and I. That's the gospel. But this false doctrine, it was so important for Paul to address it because it separates us from God. Any of those people I mentioned earlier in those religions, they are separated from God, as well-intentioned as they may be, and they are. Many of them are very well-intentioned. They've been peddled poison. Christianity is, again, the only religion that can bring hope through a sacrifice of God for us. But that's why Paul was so adamant, because he cared so much for the lost. Even in Romans, he cared so much that he said, I would count myself accursed if my countrymen, if my fellow, you know, Romans, my fellow Jews, if they would receive Christ, I would go to hell for them if they could go to heaven. It wasn't possible, but Paul was willing to do that. That was his passion, to see souls that were lost be saved. And these were his spiritual children. He birthed them out of going to the churches there in Galatia, and he saw these people come into faith in Christ. These were his spiritual children. So he took this very personally. That's why he wrote the letter as severe as it was. Wrong doctrine is worse than wrong living. Now, wrong living is wrong, but wrong doctrine is worse than that, because in wrong doctrine, it will lead you to a false religion where wrong living will be repented of. It would be like this. If you went to a friend's house and you knocked on the door and they opened the door and say, hey, come in. Hey, it's good to see you. Have some iced tea, have some snacks, and you're, you know, enjoying your time. Beautiful home. I love this. And he shows you, of course, the man cave, because you got to see that. And you're looking at this. This is really great. Thanks for the visit. And so then you go back the next week and think, I'm going to go visit him again. And all of a sudden you see his house is on fire. And so you go in, you rip open the door, you see him lying on the floor, you drag him out of the house. Well, that was unloving. That wasn't a very cordial visit. No, his house was on fire. He was going to perish. I took him out as fast as I could because I wanted to save him. That's what Paul's doing here in this letter. It wasn't supposed to be where it was a nice, cordial visit. It was very serious, and Paul was making that very clear. That's why Paul gets right to the point in this letter. The gospel, correctly presented, is the most important thing a person will ever do. The most important thing you and I will ever do is preaching the gospel to someone, telling someone the love of Christ and the fact that they can too have that relationship in Christ that you have. Paul was passionate about the gospel. So in Galatians, through the book, we're going to see Paul stressing the importance of justification by grace through faith more than any of his other writings, even more so than Romans. Galatians is where we learn that Paul was in the Arabian desert for 3 years, spending time with Jesus. We see at least 47 references to Christ in this book. The two key words that we're going to see most often is the word law, or the law, and also faith. You have heard it probably said before, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on and so forth. That's in Galatians chapter 5. And so all these things are going to come about, but I don't want to take everything away. We still got 6 more weeks to go. So I don't want to take too much time in expounding that and expounding these scriptures. We'll do that book by book. And so we'll start in chapter 1 next week. So just let me encourage you to be consistent, guys. You know what? It's just one step at a time. We're gonna travel a mile this year. But we're going to do it one step at a time. We're going to do it all together. So don't get discouraged. If you miss 1 week or you couldn't do your lessons, still come. We want to be with you. You can still interject. You still have value to that. So make every effort to be here every week. Bring guys with you. And then we'll spend this time going through the book of Galatians together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, I thank you for these men. Here it is on a Tuesday night, middle of the week, and they're coming out here to learn of you, to worship you. I pray, God, that you would bless them, that they would just learn so greatly that they couldn't help but coming back next week, the week after, and so on. So, God, we just want to say thank you for your love for us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die upon the cross for our sins. Thank you for making a way for us to go to heaven when we die. We thank you so much for bringing the Holy Spirit to empower us, to reside within us, to show us those things that we need to do in our lives, things to improve upon, things to neglect as far as sin and such. And so, Father, I pray your blessing and anointing upon these guys now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.